Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harvard Bible Church in Central New Jersey. This week's program is about Gnosticism, Satan's original argument against God. It was a heresy that arose in the early church, to which the church fathers wrote against. The most famous work was by Irenaeus in the second century, called Against Heresies. But the longer title is A Refutation and Overthrow of Knowledge Falsely So-Called. The word Gnostic or Gnosis is the Greek word for knowledge. And the Gnostics were calling themselves knowledge or knowing ones. They claimed to be followers of Jesus, but they redefined Jesus and taught a worldview that opposed the God of the Bible. As the title for his work, Irenaeus was using Paul's words to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, gnosis. Opposing arguments is literally in the Greek, antithesis, because Gnosticism was the antithesis of Christianity. Paul is telling Timothy here to beware of the opposite of Christianity, which is being called knowledge. That appears to be a reference to the Gnostics. And even though Paul was writing to Timothy very early in church history, around AD 64, the satanic attack of Gnosticism was already appearing. It was Satan's immediate response to the advent of Christ. The main book in the New Testament that seems to address and refute the Gnostics is the book of 1 John. What the Apostle John writes in 1 John 4 is considered a refutation of the Gnostics. 1 John 4:2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it's coming and now is already in the world. You know, John wasn't just making this point because Christians should believe in the incarnation of Christ. John was making this point because the Gnostics were already coming on the scene, and they denied that Jesus Christ had a body. But instead, they claimed that he was a spiritual vision. And we'll get into that anti-materialist reasoning of the Gnostics in a bit. Also, John 1:1. Where John begins the letter by saying, we have seen and touched Jesus Christ. He was physically there. And also John chapter 2, 1 John 2:22. This is also against Gnosticism. Anyone who denies that Jesus is the Messiah and who denies that there is the Father and the Son is Antichrist. And Gnosticism denies Jesus' connection to Yahweh, the God revealed in the Old Testament. And in the early church, for a while, it seemed as if Gnosticism would win. Many of the church bishops in the second century were teaching elements of Gnosticism. But the heresy was eventually defeated by the New Testament epistles, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the teaching of the true Christians. It has been considered a dead and buried heresy. I learned about it in seminary, but only enough to get the questions right on my next church history exam. I never realized until recently the current significance of Gnosticism. But now that Gnosticism has been revived in the 20th and the 21st century, it is the number one false teaching Christians are facing today. But unfortunately, it's not defined, it's not recognized. But once you learn what it is, you'll see it everywhere. You will say, aha, that's what's behind all of this social, political, anti-Christian wokeism going on today. Gnosticism in America and the world is the new civil religion, replacing Christianity incrementally day by day. And I believe it's being revived by Satan himself to prepare the world to receive and believe the coming Antichrist and the apocalypse. Gnosticism will be the ideological teaching supporting the worldwide embrace of the Antichrist. As the Apostle John writes, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it's coming and is now already in the world. Gnosticism appeared in the first 3 centuries of church history. Then it died down for centuries. But now it has returned in full force with a vengeance, taking over every institution. Once you know what it is, you'll recognize that this is what's being taught in our universities, in public schools, in corporate boardrooms, in courts, in politics, in Hollywood, in the media, and on Sesame Street and in Disney movies. This Antichrist ideology of believe in yourself, that you have a spark of divinity within you, that rules are made to be broken, is all Gnosticism. Even the basis for DEI and CRT and racial identity politics and the LGBTQ movement are all based on Gnosticism. Whether people realize it or not, they're teaching and believing the Gnostic worldview, not Christianity. I'm certainly not the only one who sees this. Generally speaking, Christians are late to the party, but a few evangelical leaders are starting to sound the trumpet on this. Here are 2 articles from The Federalist. First, Gnostic mysticism grounds modern progressive ideology. Second article, why the word woke encapsulates an evil, self-defeating ideology, that of Gnosticism. Quote, when I first saw the word woke in connection to a leftist cause, I had that panicking sensation of the madman in the wilderness who's been screaming about an oncoming danger nobody wants to hear about, but finally has the first sign to prove what he's been saying. There it is. That is the Gnosticism I've been talking about, being woke. For several years now, I've been warning about the rise of Gnosticism in America. Much of my argument is subtle and calls for an in-depth understanding of traditional Christian theological categories and a careful reading of American culture. This woke language is like the first hint of the wizard blatantly revealing himself, the first sight of the iceberg. And it's Gnosticism, classic Gnosticism, that will make sense once you read on, and in the process discover how wrong and dangerous this philosophy is, as well as its practical effects. Here's how it works. Then the author, Birdfind, a pastor in Ohio, goes on to explain the mind of the Gnostic, which is the mind of the modern humanist, and wokeism, which is the mind of Satan and humanism in opposition to God. The same language and ideas used by the Gnostics are being used and repeated today. Peter Birdfind, has also written a book about the modern application of Gnosticism called Gnostic America, a reading of contemporary American culture and religion according to Christianity's oldest heresy. I just started reading the book. It's a pretty hard read, but it's really essential for those who want to unearth Satan's agenda in these last days. One should also consider reading the complete Irenaeus' work against heresies, and then all of the pseudepigrapha Gnostic Gospels. This will help us in our witness to those on the left, for they don't even know that they're believing satanic Gnosticism. But once exposed, it might awaken some. These leftist ideologues are all claiming that they are becoming woke, but they're actually falling into darkness, going into a deep sleep. And they need to wake up and realize they're simply following the ancient satanic oppression narrative of Gnosticism, and they need to turn to God's worldview. I was just listening to a Ligonier conference message by Peter Jones. He said, when I came back to the States in 1991, I was amazed to discover that America, that had always been very spiritual, was now changing the focus of its spirituality. And I took some time to try to figure out what was happening. I had studied Gnosticism in various places. I began to connect the dots between what was happening in the culture with ancient Gnosticism. And in my book in 1992, called The Gnostic Empire Strikes Back, I suggested that all these wildfires that were beginning to spring up in the culture were actually related by a massive fire burning underneath the surface of the culture that actually connects all of the dots together in a new ideology, a new agenda of what I call paganism. These were not simply unrelated hot button issues, but a full-scale alternative to the gospel. Here's what I said back in 1992. The New Age has a coherent agenda orchestrated from a diabolical center moving and reproducing like algae in a lake. Well, what's happened since 1992? Here's what I want you to take away from this lecture. Gnosticism is both a specific ancient heresy that the church already faced and defeated, but that it is also the essence of the revival of religious paganism, which has the goal of creating a new pagan planetary civilization where the Christian message will be snuffed out if they can do it. Unquote, Peter Jones. Here's another article put out by the Gospel Coalition, The Ancient Heresy Driving Modern Identity. And this author explains that ancient Gnosticism has surged to become the controlling myth of our age. Because in the Gnostic worldview, the material world and its distinctions, natural law, are essentially evil. What you choose inside yourself is reality. Does that sound familiar? That's what leftist intellectuals in the universities are teaching, which is being used to justify turning America into Sodom. The author goes on to make 4 points about how what's being taught today is identical to early Gnostic teachings. Number one, in ancient Gnosticism and modern wokeism, freedom is found by escaping any natural order. These people and these demons hate the natural order because subconsciously they hate the creator. Number two, freedom is found by looking within, not by looking to God. In fact, to be free, one needs to be free to free oneself from Jehovah God and attach oneself to the eon demons. Number three, being fulfilled means obeying your inner feelings. Number four, being human means creating your own identity, even if it means erasing the identity given to you in past years. Quote, in the past, your identity was based on several givens that you had little control over, like your sex, family, background, race, culture, and nationality. Your task was to make the most of what we have been given. But today, secular culture encourages people to discover their true identity within, to create their own identity in any way they like. And so, when there's conflict between your given external identity and your feelings, the modern approach says it's your external identity that's the problem and needs fixing rather than your feelings. And there's no better example of this than the transgender movement. Unquote, Akos Belo, Satan's temptation in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, you'll be like God. And Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14, Satan himself said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High. And it's no coincidence that the temptation of Adam and Eve was to eat the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge, the gnosis of good and evil. And this satanic philosophy is called knowledge, gnosis. For that's what Satan claims to be offering humanity, the knowledge that God denied them, but a knowledge Satan wants to offer them. But it's a lie. So what I'm trying to do here is show you the relevance of this false doctrine. It's Gnosticism. It's Satan's pure, undiluted argument or philosophy against God. And believers need to know these things lest we're deceived by the rhetoric. 2 Corinthians 2:11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his devices or his schemes. The apostles weren't ignorant. But some Christians then and now are. In prepping for this program, I was at first reluctant to revisit this topic because I remember just doing a program about Gnosticism a couple months ago. But then I looked back at my records, and I did that program all the way back in the summer of 2023, nearly 3 years ago. Time certainly flies. But this subject is so important, I'm going to have to revisit it every 6 months because Christians need to understand what's driving the insanity in our world. So very briefly, let's review the creation story put forth by the Gnostics, because this is at the heart of Gnosticism. It's the same lie Satan used in the garden, but repackaged and more sophisticated. In Gnosticism, the supreme God is the monad. In Greek, this means the one. And he's not so much of a personal God, but more like the force of Star Wars. And out of him or her or it proceeds eons. These are various beings who are created by the monad's thoughts. And one of those eons was Sophia, a feminine deity. And she and the rest of the eons lived in the Pleroma, which is Greek for the fullness or the perfection, the divine space, the pure spiritual world. So Sophia decides to bear a child outside the unity of the other eons, which was a violation of the oneness. And because she decided to have this child outside the unity, this child was deformed. He is called the Demiurge. This Demiurge decided to create the world and man so that he could receive worship. This is what Gnostics think of the God of the Old Testament, the one who is the creator of the material world. The Demiurge means in Greek, the builder, but he's also called Yaldabaoth. The meaning of this title is obscure. Some believe it means child of chaos or begetter of chaos. Some believe that it means son of shame. Others believe it means the ignorant God, as opposed to the knowledge of the Gnostics. The Gnostic book, the Apocryphon of John, calls the creator God a fool, which reminds us of Revelation 13:6, where the Antichrist will open his mouth and blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name. Well, as the story goes, Yaldabaoth, being flawed, distorted from the very beginning, he's the image of a snake and a lion. The material world he created was also flawed, full of corruption, pain, danger. And this was all Yaldabaoth's fault. Gnosticism teaches that the material world is evil and only the spiritual world is good. And a common element of Gnosticism is that everything God does, Gnosticism calls evil. God said that after he created the material world, God said it's good. So of course, Satan, being full of the antithesis or the antithesis of God, says it's not good. God told Adam to name the animals. Gnosticism claims that one of the great evils is naming things, making distinctions, making delineations, because that creates differences, especially when one labels something good or evil. Gnosticism does not believe anything should be called good or evil, for everything should be acceptable, everything should be the same. Naming makes things ununified. And in the garden, God made them male and female. And even in the first century, Gnosticism, the Gnostics, rejected gender distinctions, just like today. One can go through every rule or pattern in Genesis, established by God, and find the text that the Gnostics will call it evil. Gnosticism creates a worldview that's completely opposite the Christian worldview. That's what's happening today. People hate the God of Christianity so much that when he says white, they say black. When he says black, they say white. And that's a satanic position. So in Gnosticism, Yaldabaoth, the creator God, is an angry, wrathful, jealous God who thinks he's the only God, and his goal is to oppress mankind with rules. The exact power dynamic, oppression of the powerful over the weak narrative that we're hearing today from the left, and that's being applied to every value and institution in the world. Now, in Gnosticism, the creator God didn't want mankind to advance. He didn't want them to discover the spark of divinity that was within them. So he kept them from the tree of knowledge. But the serpent, who is one of the good eons, tried to free mankind from the oppression of this hateful God. But once Yaldabaoth discovered this plot to free mankind, Yaldabaoth created even more rules upon mankind and then threw mankind out of paradise. So Gnosticism today and the Gnostic Gospels profess to give secret revelation, what they believe the church has been hiding from the world, because Gnostics believe that the established church, the Christians, are on the side of the evil demiurge, the oppressor. And hence, all morals are social constructs made up by the powerful, by the demiurge, to oppress the weak. And mankind is really divine. And when Satan comes along in the future, in the form of the Antichrist, he will come promising the knowledge and the freedom that the Creator God is keeping from mankind. And that, my friend, is Satan's argument. And let me suggest that this was likely the argument against God from the very beginning, the argument that he used to convince a third of the angels to fall with him. Consider that at the end of this age, when Satan wants to receive worship from mankind, he will want mankind to receive and believe his raw, unfiltered position against God. Now, unbelievers throughout the centuries have always held to some elements of Gnosticism. There are elements of Gnosticism in Hinduism, in Buddhism, in Islam. But I believe what we'll be seeing in the near future is the full revelation and the acceptance of Satan's primal theology, Gnosticism. And Gnosticism is probably the closest description of what Satan actually believes and what he wants mankind to believe as well. You know, thinking about this, it occurred to me that just as unbelief in what God says is behind mankind's rebellion to God, there is most likely unbelief in Satan in regard to his rebellion to God. You know, I suspect that Satan does not believe God is who he says he is. God claims to be eternal, all-knowing, and all-powerful. But just imagine if Satan doubts that claim. Maybe Satan began to believe that all spiritual beings emanated from some other powerful force, so that God is actually a usurper. So why should he serve Jehovah God? Now, just bear with my speculation here, but I'm just pointing out that this Gnostic creation story might be in part what Satan himself actually believes, not just what he's selling humanity. And Satan, like fallen humanity, probably believes his own lie. When we think about Jesus' words that Satan is a liar and the father of lies, that doesn't mean that Satan acknowledges the truth but lies about it to others. He may actually believe the lie himself. You know, we mistakenly think that being a liar is only valid for those who actually know the truth. Otherwise, you're not lying, you're just mistaken. That in order for someone to actually lie, they must be cognizant of the truth, or at least acknowledge the truth. But biblically, those who lie and those who are accountable for their lies may actually believe their own lie. Anyway, the Christians who understand Satan's arguments against God are able to shore up their own convictions that God is who he says he is, that God is holy and right and deserves all power and authority, the confession of the holy angels, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed, and they were created. And this is what Satan does not believe, and this is what Satan's attacking, but this is what Christians confess. A few closing observations. First, how is it that ancient Gnosticism has been revived? And be aware that this theology is not necessarily couched today in theological terms. But nevertheless, secular university professors are still teaching the tenets of Gnosticism as a new ethic. And it's not as if these university professors have studied ancient Gnosticism. Now, some modern philosophers are students of Gnosticism, such as Carl Jung, the father of analytical psychology. You know, he actually claimed to receive visions from a third century Gnostic leader. But what I believe is going on in the vast majority of educators and in the public is that Gnosticism is a default position of the unsaved who are at enmity with God. If Christianity is rejected, Gnosticism, this oppression narrative, and the immorality will fill a vacuum. The unsaved mind naturally finds explanation for everything in Gnostic ideology. It comes to the sinful mind naturally. It doesn't even need to be taught. And it will arise whenever and wherever Christianity is absent. Gnosticism is not the aberration, but the default human mindset. It's actually Romans chapter 12. Love not the world. The world that we're told not to be conformed to. The world that we must break from if we're to be saved by Christ. But a second reason for the rise of Gnosticism is definitely demonic influence. As Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4 about those who reject the faith, they will instead pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. You know, as the Christian experiences God bringing truth to mind, Satan plants ideas in the minds of those who are his. So don't underestimate the satanic element here. A second observation regarding Gnosticism is this. There are many people attending evangelical churches who have made professions of faith in Christ, but in reality, they are Gnostic in heart. They really don't believe the Christian culture they move in. So when introduced to Gnosticism, rather than saying, this is outrageous, blasphemy, they say, hey, this is kind of what I believed all along. I've always had problems with Christian morality and the God of the Old Testament. So when these young people raised in Christian churches go off to universities, they hear arguments against God and against Christian values. They hear about the woke oppression narrative that the church and God are oppressing people's sexuality and self-expression, and they immediately become woke to the deep things of Satan. Revelation 2:24. I came across this list online. 10 signs you might be a Gnostic Christian and not even know it. Notice that it's called Christianity, or rather a version of Christianity, because they claim Christ, but they redefine Christ. Their Christ is on the side of Judas and the serpent. Now notice as I read these points that the unsaved desire to find truth in themselves, not in the Bible, in God's revelation. So number one, a sign that you might be a Gnostic Christian and not even know it, you seek truth beyond tradition because you know the Bible is not the whole story. You don't just accept what has been handed down to you. You question, explore, and go deeper because truth matters more than comfort. You know the Bible was edited and used to control, and you're not afraid to look beyond its hidden text and stir something ancient in your soul where traditions fall silent. Number two, you believe the divine lies within you. Number three, you see Jesus as a teacher, a mirror, and you know there's more to the story. You feel in your bones that the story has been edited but not erased. Christ didn't come just to be worshiped. He came to awaken us, to reflect who we truly are. The truth is buried, but now it's rising again. Number four, you are drawn to practices once called demonic. Meditation, yoga, crystals, tarot cards, astrology, witchcraft. Things once condemned now feel like sacred tools, not darkness, but deeper knowing. Number five, you struggle to worship a vengeful, jealous God. The God of love couldn't also be the author of fear and wrath. Deep down, you always knew something didn't sit right. Number six, you believe heaven and hell are states of consciousness. It's not just a place you go after death, but a state of being. Number seven, you find God in nature and through your higher self. The divine speaks to you through trees, the wind, stars, more than through sermons. Nature is your cathedral. Your higher self is the altar. Union with that self, that's the real resurrection. That is a return to Eden. Number eight, you know the divine has a female side. You feel the ache of Sophia, the silent wisdom of the mother, and you know the sacred holds both masculine and feminine. Number nine, you read the scripture symbolically, not literally. You see beyond the surface into metaphors, mystery, and myth. You read scripture like poetry, not just law. And number 10, you don't worship authority. You discern truth within. You rather walk alone in truth than follow the crowd, an illusion. Your inner knowing is your compass. Unquote. 10 signs that you might actually be a Gnostic and not a true Christian. At the end of this age, I believe the line is going to be drawn in the sand. The choice will be clear. It will be black or white with very little gray. Where everyone is at in their ideology will be revealed. And one final closing observation. Gnosticism is what is producing political leftism in America. The communist mindset, abortion, the rejection of gender distinctions, homosexual marriage, open borders, globalism, and the current rage in politics against Christian values. It starts with the community being discipled on false teaching, false theology in seminaries, in universities, in public schools. We all know that Minneapolis is a hotbed for radical leftism. Why is that? Because the general population has been fed a steady diet of Gnosticism over the past 30 years. Back in 1993, there was a major conference held in Minneapolis called the Reimagining God Conference. And the writer of the Wikipedia article about this conference provides a very in-depth summary of all of the teaching. Reimagining was a Minneapolis interfaith conference of clergy, laypeople, and feminist theologians in 1993. Reimagining was a global theological conference by women, for men and women. It grew out of the USA mainline Protestant response to the World Council of Churches ecumenical decade, unquote. Well, the article goes on to quote the speakers and the topics. And what was being taught there was 100% Gnosticism, that God is Sophia, and that the creator God of the Old Testament is not the true God, and we need to practice radical disobedience in regard to traditional Christian values. And speaking and attending this conference were many of the intellectuals at all of the universities and the churches in the Minnesota area. And this was 30 years ago. And these people taught the younger generation that's now leading the Twin Cities. Hence crime, corruption, riots, lawlessness, and paganism. An anti-American worldview. Pro-communist all the way. And this is where the teaching of satanic Gnosticism always leads. I've run out of time. I have much more to share on this topic, so we will revisit it again in the future. The bottom line is that as a soldier of Christ, we need to stand for our Lord in these last days. We need to refute and expose the lies of the devil, this one who deceives the whole world, according to Revelation 12:9. And why? So that some may escape from the snare of the devil and be saved. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign.